I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of
welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, we've got a super important show for you today. We're talking about miracles. And you know this if you've read any of my stuff or followed me or listened to the show for a number of years. I believe with all my heart, that's like I actually know in my knower, that God still works wonders in our days. And you know this if you know my story. My own son is miraculously medically healed from a serious back injury a number of years ago. I'm still waiting and believing for my miracle healing. I am just believing for it. I don't understand the mystery of God, but I do know He speaks to His people. He moves in our midst. And there's so much more. I would say as long as you've walked with Him, it's like you hold the Dixie cup and the ocean remains. I want to know Him more, and I know you do too. I believe God has more for us, don't you? And I think if we settle beneath our spiritual privilege as heirs of God, we miss so much. But so does the world then, missing so much of what God wants to do in and through us. Psalm 145 says this, all of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They'll give examples of your power. Don't you want to be able to give examples of God's power to tell about His mighty deeds and about the majesty and the glory of His reign? That's what the scripture says. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule through all generations. So from one generation to the next, this isn't old news. This is now news. We need God's power more than ever before. Amen? Well, Dr. J.P. Moreland joins me today to talk about his book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles, Instruction and Inspiration for Living Supernaturally in Christ. I couldn't wait when I saw this book come out. I couldn't wait to talk with him. And then he was scheduled, and I had to go and get COVID. So my dear sister, Carmen, stepped in for me. But I'm like, I'm going to talk with him myself. So we've got him back. So we've got a handful of copies to give away. If you want to learn, really read a book that is so well-researched, so biblical, sound on the supernatural, this is the book for you. Dr. J.P. Moreland's book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles. You can text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Here's my question for you. If you've experienced a miracle, text me about it and tell me. I would love to know. Now, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. J.P. Moreland is a distinguished professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology, and he's the director of Eidos Christian Center. Listen to this, with degrees in theology, philosophy, and chemistry. He's taught theology and philosophy at several schools throughout the United States. He's the author of numerous books. He's served with Crew. He's planted two churches, spoken at hundreds of college campuses and churches around the nation. And he's been recognized by the best schools as one of the 50 most influential living philosophers in our time in the world. Dr. Moreland, what an honor to meet you. Thanks for joining us on the show today.
Well, it's great being with you, Susie. Thank you for inviting me.
I am so looking forward to this conversation. And you know this, we love to start our show every day just talking about what's fresh for you. Like, what is God impressing upon your heart these days? So what's He been speaking to you about?
Well, there's a verse that's really been coming alive to me, and it's Psalm 46:10. And it says, let go and relax and know that I'm God. And we live in such a stressful time that I need times where I just sit and let go and be still. And I have found that when I do that, I am more open to God manifesting His tenderness to me. And that's just been a tremendous verse that I've been thinking a lot about and practicing.
I love that so much. It's one of my go-tos as well. Well, you know, I would say, and I don't mean this as a diss to most scholars, but most scholars would distance themselves from subjects like miracles and the supernatural. And I respect you so much for having the courage to dive in the way you did. What prompted you to do that?
Well, there were a few things. But first of all, I actually know that Christianity is true. Shock. And if it is true, then miracles should be a part of our lives. And so I wrote a book a while back where I discovered that in the book of Acts and in the first four centuries of the church, there were three main things that were uppermost in building mature believers. One was learning what you believe and why, or having a Christian mind. The second was the cultivation of a Christ-like character centered around a tender heart. And third was experiencing the manifest power of the kingdom of God in signs and wonders. And it was that last one that I had seen myself, but I felt like it was often associated with, oh, I'll just say goofiness or a certain kind of emotional extravagance, and that we should steer away from that and kind of be skeptical, which we are in our country. And I didn't believe that was true for a minute. So I wanted to prepare a book that people could actually read and have confidence that these Book of Acts type miracles, and I list five different kinds of them, are happening all over the world, including in our country, every day. So it was an attempt to invite people how to enter into a more expectant life without just trying to will yourself there. Mm. That was my purpose.
I love that so much. And for lack of a better phrase, the whole throwing the baby out with the bathwater, we do need to come up with a better phrase. And if you think of one, tell me what it is. But the idea, we have a tendency, it seems, in the West to do that. It's like if you see somebody take something to an extreme, we throw the whole thing out. And I remember when there was a wave, you know, and I feel like it's sort of fizzling now, but of people building websites and coming against any Christian who would dare to say God spoke to their heart. And that was so heartbreaking to me. I'm like, think what you want. Jesus says, my sheep hear me and they know my voice. I'm like, I know when I'm in his word or he's whispering and prompting me to pray for some. That's the spirit of God in me. In Romans 8, it says his spirit, you know, affirms to our spirit that we are his children. So talk about maybe some of the ways we've kind of thrown, I'm sorry for, I just don't have a better phrase, but, you know, throwing things out that are so valuable and biblical because someone took it to a sensational extreme. What do you say?
Well, you're on the money on that. In fact, the comedian Billy Tomlin once said, why is it that when we pray, we're considered good, but when God speaks to us, we're considered crazy? So, you know, well, I think that the fundamental reason is that we have absorbed, without knowing it, the worldview of naturalism. We have more confidence that science tells us what's real than we do that theology and the Bible do. Now, you would, if you ask the average Christian that, they'd say they'd deny it. But the truth of the matter is that scientists and our confidence in science has caused us to have a little bit of skepticism toward the supernatural. And so what we do is we've, without knowing it, have tamed our Christianity so that it is solely now a word-based religion, the scriptures, which is absolutely essential and ultimately authoritative. But there is, we've thrown the Holy Spirit out with an overemphasis on the word to the exclusion of the spirit and the manifest power of the kingdom. And so I think people have it's in the drinking water, Susie. Naturalism, the physical world is all there is, and science is our best way of knowing reality, is just something we learn in public school, and it's on the media, and we just sort of absorb it without trying to.
Hmm. Yeah, it's almost like, and we're going to move on from this, but I just, and maybe I'll regret saying this out loud after the show's over, but there's almost like a spiritual snobbery where I've heard people talk about the Trinity as if it is, just as you say, Father, Son, and the Word of God. Like you know, the Holy Spirit is for weird people. But it's like the Holy Spirit is just, it's the Christ in us. You know, I mean, I wonder how often we grieve the Spirit of God when he wants to move, but he's so shut down, you know?
I do know, and I, like you, am fully committed to the authority and the inerrancy of Scripture. That's not the issue for us.
Exactly.
But for me, there is a way of entering into a more supernatural, experiential lifestyle with Christ that relies on the Spirit without having to be crazy or irrational or just kind of weird and goofy. And that's I'm trying to carve a niche out for that middle ground there in this book.
Well, you've done it brilliantly. We need to pause and break here. When we come back, I would love to just know from your own life, Dr. Moreland, how you've seen that kind of movement of God in your life, or even if you have some favorite stories from the book. Boy, you tell some amazing stories in the book. Talking to Dr. J.P. Moreland today, his book is titled A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles, Instruction and Inspiration for Living Supernaturally in Christ. Remember what Paul said? The kingdom of God, it's not a matter of talk, but of power. That's what we're talking about today. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. To me, this is really such an important book for our times. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Bible scholar Dr. J.P. Moreland. He's released a super important book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles, Instruction and Inspiration for Living Supernaturally in Christ. And to me, this is the beauty of mixing scholarly research, biblical insight, and inspiration of everyday, current, modern stories of people who've experienced the supernatural. And again, because we've seen things sensationalized, things that have been made up, we throw it all out, but God is still moving in our day. And if you wonder about that, go on a mission trip to a third world country, because they're very aware of the supernatural, because the spiritual battle is so tangible so often. We've got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you've got a question, send that in a separate text. J.P. Moreland writes this: confidence in God and his word lies at the core of a maturing Christian life. This confidence grows when we know why we believe what we believe. Sharing and receiving incredible eyewitness testimony to divine intervention in our lives is a crucial way we strengthen our faith. So, Dr. Moreland, if you don't mind, just even from your own life or from people that you know and love, would you share a story or two with us?
I sure will. Just real quickly, I have 40 to 50 stories in the book that I very, very carefully vetted and placed my reputation on the fact they're true. I examined eyewitnesses. I called them. I looked into other facts. And so I did not just accept people's word for things. I vetted these stories very carefully, and I list five different kinds of miracles: specific answers to prayer, miraculous healings, God speaking to someone in six different ways outside but under the authority of the Bible, the manifestation of demons and angels, and near-death experiences. Now, I'll start with an answer to prayer that happened at the very beginning of my ministry in 1972. I came to Christ in 68, joined crew staff in 70, and I was at a conference in Southern California as a new believer that said that we should try to make our requests known and be specific about what we think we need God to do for us. So I was driving back to Golden, Colorado to serve at the campus of the Colorado School of Mines, and I wrote in my little journal, "Lord, I really think that my roommate and I need a place where students can come to a home and feel warm. So could you provide us with a little white house with a nice white picket fence and a grassy front yard about no more than 2 miles or so from campus so students could get there? And could it be no more than $120 a month?" Now, this is back in 72. So I drove back. I was by myself. My roommate was raising support in Montana. And I looked for 2 full days, and I could find nothing in Golden, Colorado. I did find an apartment 11 miles away in Denver for $130 a month, and I said, "I'll take it." But the problem was that evening, the landlord called me and said, "It was already spoken for. I'm sorry, and we don't have any other availabilities. And so the next day I got a phone call from a staff worker I knew, and she said, Jay, are you still looking for a place to live? She knew nothing about my prayer. And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I am. And she said, well, I was in Denver Seminary today, and I looked on their bulletin board, and there's a pastor who has a place he would like to rent to Christians, and it's in Golden. So here's his phone number. Why don't you call him? Well, I called the gentleman, and he said, meet me at this address tomorrow morning at 9, and I drove there to meet him. And I drove up to a white house with a white picket fence all the way around it, a nice grassy front yard, about 2.1 miles from campus, and the rent was $110 a month. And that was a specific answer to prayer. It was miraculous. God brought that about. Now, I can tell you another one if you'd like, or you can
please. Yes, this is awesome. It does so much for your own faith.
This is amazing. But this happened to a couple in our church that we've known for 20 years or so. And I kid you not, they are known throughout the church as just godly, faithful, mature believers. We love them to death. Well, Ruth Henderson was the wife was born on the mission field, and her parents were on the mission field for something like 30 years, and they worked among poor people in Hispanic-speaking countries in South America. And eventually, they retired and came to the States to live in the San Diego area. The wife got a job teaching public school, and the husband continued for free to help local Hispanic churches grow, and he would preach in those churches. But at one point, the wife said to the family, you know, I've lived in poor places my whole life, and I'd like to have a house I can live in. We have an apartment, and that's okay, but I'd really love to have a house that I could live in. Well, so the family prayed about this, but the truth of the matter is that they did not know what the market was, and they did not have a down payment unbeknownst to them. So they went to a realtor, and this realtor showed them around, and eventually, about the fourth or fifth house, they came to a house that was vacant, and they walked in there. In about 15 minutes, the wife said, this is the house for me. I'd like to buy this house. And so the real estate agent said, well, how much do you have to put down? And I think she said something like $2,500. And she said, oh dear. She said, I'm sorry, but you need five times that much. And the monthly payments, if you do that, are going to be just under $1,000 a month. And she was downtrodden about this because they had no idea houses cost that much. Well, a knock came to the door. And you got to understand, they were only there for about 30 minutes total. And so the real estate agent went to the door, and there were two men there, and they said, may we speak to the owner? And the real estate agent said, well, this couple is considering buying the house. Maybe you could speak to them. So they went to the front door, and these two gentlemen said, we work with a cell phone company, and we would like to put two cell phone towers in your backyard, and we'll make them look like palm trees. And if you will let us do that, we will give you $10,000 cash up front, and we will give you, I think it was $10,000 a year for 30 years. Well, that was enough to get in the house, and apparently their monthly payments with tax was $970-something dollars, and that allowed them to get that house. And the wife died about 5 years ago, and the husband is still alive, but they finished paying the house off 2 years ago, and they were able to live in that house the rest of their lives. Now, you think about this. What are the chances of these guys showing up while they were there, number one? And number two, what were the chances that they would give them an offer instead of other houses they'd gone to? And it was exactly what they needed to get them in. And I think that was a case of God loving on these dear, faithful people and coming to their rescue and meeting the desires of their heart when they had no way to do anything themselves. And I just think not only is that obviously a miracle, but it just says something about God, don't you think? Mm.
Oh, so much. He's so kind and so good. Got about 2.5 minutes to our break at the bottom of the hour. Let's ask this. Let's talk about this for just a moment. What constitutes a miracle?
Well, I'll give you a definition, and then maybe afterwards I can tell you how you can know a miracle from a coincidence. But a miracle is an intervention by God into the laws of nature that change what happens for a purpose. So it isn't, you can't explain it by just the laws of nature, but it's an intervention by God into the world that overrides the laws of nature and produces an event that is done by God for a purpose. And that's what I would say a miracle is.
Hmm. You know, there was a time years ago where I had some chronic health issues, and I do radio and I write books, and then I speak. The speaking piece is what takes the biggest toll on me because mm-hmm. travel is hard on my health. And yeah. So I was, one night my hubby and I were at a hotel of an event, and I was so discouraged by all the inflammation and all the neurological mm-hmm. symptoms I was experiencing. And I told him, just privately whispered to him, I think I need to stop. I think I need to stop doing this. I just can't do it. I was just super discouraged. And it was day two, I think, if I remember right, at the conference. And so I'd done my message, and I'm behind the book table, and there was this long line of women. And this beautiful, sassy black woman, it's just red and yellow. She's like dressed up. She's like, excuse me, pardon me, I'm not butting. Excuse me, excuse me. But she was totally butting in front of everybody. She comes up, she leans across the table, puts her finger in my face and says, now you listen to me, Susie Larson. Don't you even think for a minute. And she word for word said what I had said in the privacy of our own. No. Like, and she's like, I know you might be tired. I know you feel like quitting. And she schooled me. And I was like, I wrapped my arms around her. I kissed her on the cheek. And then I looked for her later and I could not find her. But I was like, I got it.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Talking to Dr. J.P. Moreland about his amazing book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles. If you've got questions, send them in. If you want in on the drawing, it has to be a separate text. Just text the word book to this number, 877-933-2484. So how do you tell the difference between a miracle and a coincidence? We'll talk about that next in just a moment. Tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Bible scholar Dr. J.P. Moreland about his really brilliant book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles, Instruction and Inspiration for Living Supernaturally in Christ. And if you've got questions, go ahead and text those in to 877-933-2484. And Dr. Moreland, talk about the difference between a miracle and a mere coincidence.
Well, this is so important because one of the reasons God does miracles for us is to increase and build our faith and give us a better, greater ability to trust him. But what happens is if we don't know the difference, we see something happen and boy, we are just so on fire. But then we start leaking. The next day we say, well, you know what? That could have been a coincidence. And before you know it, we've talked ourselves out of our rightful heritage of having our faith built. So wow. This is a very important question. Now, in the book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles, I lay out the answer in great detail, but I'll give you a summary of it now. We have to start with a principle that's actually used in science, not religion. And it goes like this. When we go through our day, we often observe some cause that produces an effect. Like we'll see a flash of lightning cause a tree to split. Now, a lot of times the causes are just natural events, like a flash of lightning is just a natural event and that splits the tree. But sometimes the cause is the free act of a rational agent. So I walk in and I see our dinner table is set in a specific way, and I don't appeal to the laws of nature and wind to explain that. I say that was done on purpose by my wife, because we're having our Chinese neighbors over, not our Mexican neighbors, because the table is arranged in a certain way. In law courts, we always are trying to find if an agent freely and intelligently committed a crime or not. And so there are agents who cause things, and there are just natural events that cause things. Well, how do you tell the difference? Well, the answer is, if the following two things are present, we know beyond any reasonable doubt that the event that we're investigating was produced by a free, rational act of an agent. And here's the first one. The event has to be highly improbable, very unlikely to happen. But that's not enough, because suppose you and I were playing bridge and we had a $500 pot that whoever wins the hand wins the $500. And I'm the dealer, and on the first deal, I give myself a perfect bridge hand and win the kitty. Well, your hand is every bit as improbable as my hand. In fact, if somebody would have predicted that you would get those exact 13 cars before the deal, that would raise suspicion. But yet there's nothing about your hand that causes anybody to think you cheated, but mine does. So what's the difference? My hand is not only highly unlikely and improbable, but secondly, there's something special about my hand besides the fact that it's the one I got. Namely, before we dealt the cards, the rules of bridge say that anybody who gets a hand like that wins. Now, your hand can only be described as some random hand or other that you received. That's all. But my hand is not only highly improbable, but it is a special hand independently of it happening, according to the rules of bridge. And when those two things happen together, we know that I cheated and it was the result of me doing it on purpose. This was used in a court of law a few years back in the state of Ohio, where the Democrats sued a Republican and they won, and for the following reason. There were eight districts that were having local state elections for the state House of Representatives. And there were about eight parties that were running on each ballot. Well, the interesting thing was that in all eight of those districts, all the ballots which listed those eight parties in that district, all of them had the Republican candidate first. And that is highly unlikely. It's very improbable. But if you had some other random list of candidates, and that was the same on all eight district ballots, that would be highly improbable as well. But not only was what really happened improbable, but it was very special, because we know that whoever is listed first on a ballot gets more votes simply by being first, and the person in charge of printing those ballots was a Republican. So it was the fact that was a very improbable event, but there was something special about that besides the fact that that's the way the ballots turned out. Namely, they were done by a Republican who wanted his candidates to win, and he knew by putting his party first, that would help them. That's what caused the judge to recognize this wasn't a coincidence. It was done on purpose by that Republican, and they fined him for cheating on the ballots. Now, if you look back on my answer to prayer with that house, the White House with a white picket fence 2 miles from campus and so on, finding a house like that was highly, highly improbable, let's face it. But finding any house was highly improbable, given that there was almost nothing on the market in that in Golden, Colorado. But there was also something special about me finding that particular house as opposed to some other house. Namely, its features were exactly what I was praying for, independently of the fact that I drove up to it. So the combination of this being highly improbable, plus it being marked out as a special house because it was what I was praying for, combined to show that this was done by the act of a really, really big rational intelligent agent. We can use the G word here if we'd like. And so that's how you know. And so if something happens and it is unlikely, but it also, there's something real special about it. Say it was exactly what you've been praying for, or it was a specific need that you had in your life that perhaps you hadn't gotten around praying for, but you knew it was unlikely that this need would ever be met, but it was what you were desperately in need of. It happens. That is not a coincidence, because those two factors are there, and scientists tell us that there are almost no false positives. That means there's almost no case where those two factors are present and we judge that it was done by an agent when it wasn't. So this is almost a foolproof. It is beyond any reasonable doubt that when those two factors are present, you have a miracle and you don't have a coincidence.
Oh, wow. Okay, talk about the purpose of persistent prayer, why God set it up that way, and what we should know about persisting in prayer. Like, is there a time and when we should stop? Just give us your thoughts on those, if you would.
Yes. God put us here to be co-laborers with him. And one way that people co-labor with each other is through conversation and talking. Well, God is personal, and we're people, so one of the ways that we co-work with him is by talking. And we talk to him through prayer. That's just a normal way that people work together. Now, by constantly praying, continually praying for something, what you're actually doing is you're continuing to express your need and your trust in God, so it has the spiritual benefit of strengthening your endurance. But it also is a time where, while you're praying about this thing, believe it or not, like when Moses' hands were lifted up in the battle, but when his hands dropped down, Israel started losing. Now, that's not a silly little story. That meant that while Moses' hands were raised, the power of God was being directed by him on that battlefield. Well, similarly, as we pray for something, you might think of it as cooking it or as directing the focus and power of the kingdom of God on that problem and actually doing work on it to resolve it in the very act of praying for it. So we continue to pray because it gives us endurance and increases our ability to trust. And it also is an act of constantly directing the Lord's power on the problem and soaking it or cooking it or however you'd like to picture that. Now, a time comes when you should no longer pray, and you should do what Paul did in 2 Corinthians and say, you know, I sought the Lord three times. Now, that doesn't mean we need to do it only three times. That was where he was at that time. There were other things that he prayed for constantly in his other epistles, but he prayed three times, and he sensed the Lord saying, this is a thorn in the flesh for your maturity and your purification. So there may come a time when you think, you know what, I think that I need to commit this now to God and move on, because this may be something that God wants me to learn to live with. Now, how do you know that? Well, I'm not, unless God literally impresses that upon you through speaking, which he does, I have a rule of thumb. It's not a thus saith the Lord, but it's when praying for it is a distraction and a waste of time for things that you could be doing that were that would be more effective for the kingdom, say other things you could fill your prayer time with. If this becomes a drain or a distraction, then I think it is no longer profitable to continue praying for it, but it's better to just ultimately say, I leave this now in your hands, and I'm going to move on and use my time to focus on other activities, preparing Bible studies or whatever, or praying for other things that I need to do where I believe I could use my time more effectively. Now, each person has to draw that line at different points, and but that would be a rule of thumb for me, Susie, as to when I might say, I think this is time for me to lay this down and just commit it into the Lord's hands.
Amen. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking of two passages. One was the one you talked about at the open of the show, you know, Psalm 46:10. We know it as cease striving or be still and know that he is God, and how it translates to let go, sink down, relax, and encounter God in that place. That's one. And then in Proverbs it says, wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will fill you with peace. And I almost feel like if you find yourself more angsty, more frustrated, more full of self-pity, the more you pray about it, but it takes more faith and you find actually more peace about going, you know what, it's time to lay this down. And it might even just be a short season, right? I mean, maybe I'm thinking of young women I've mentored, one who wanted so desperately to be married, but after a while, her prayers were like grinding the gears. And she's like, I have just got to turn this over and be about the stuff he's assigned to me. But in due time, the Lord brought her someone. And so, and another woman whose husband wasn't a believer, she was interceding, but then it just got to be where she was kind of grinding the gears, and she thought, I'm just going to love him well. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do my life. And in due time, not to say this happens every time, but it is interesting how I feel like, for me, I go, you know, what takes more faith and where's the peace? Those help me the most, you know?
Well, I think that's wisdom. And in the book, I list 14 very carefully thought out reasons why God doesn't answer our prayers or doesn't perform a miracle, heal somebody or something like that. Now, every time that you don't get a prayer answered, not all 14 will apply to you, but it is worth looking at that list if you're frustrated and saying, are there any of these that make sense to me at this current point in time? Maybe two or three of them will help you, but one of them is that the timing is not right, because God wants there's further things God wants to do or needs to do before you're ready for the answer. And I think that applies to that first woman you mentioned. The reason God didn't answer the prayer is the timing was wrong. And God brought it about in the right time. So I think that's very wise and very practical.
When we come back, let's talk about the six ways you identify that God often speaks in what we would call extra-biblical ways, impressions, thoughts, feelings, dreams, those kinds of things. I'm super excited to hear your thoughts on all of these. Talking to Dr. J.P. Moreland about his book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles. So many miraculous stories in this book, instruction and inspiration for living supernaturally in Christ. And if there's time, I want to hear a few more stories as well. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live, talking to Dr. J.P. Moreland about his really amazing book, A Simple Guide to Experience Miracles, Instruction and Inspiration for Living Supernaturally in Christ. And he says, does God still speak to us today? Yes, I believe he does, without a doubt. But there are other presences and voices all around us as well. And as we learn to listen to the voice of God, we also need to learn how to be aware of and deal with this reality, the reality of angels and demons in our daily lives. We're going to touch on that in just a moment. But we've got six ways that you say God speaks to us in extra-biblical fashion. Let's start with them. First one is impressions. And I'd love, even if you've got an example of each of these, that would be so helpful. Impressions, what say you?
Okay, well, an impression is when you have just a sense that God is leading you to do something. It may be a sense of peace or just a draw to do something. I was in a church, for example, and I'd spoken. And after I was finished, the pastor asked for people who wanted prayer to come up. And there were, I don't know, 10 or so people that came up. And I was standing over at the side, and my eyes kept being drawn to this one young man. And I just got a sense that God wanted me to go pray for him. And so I went over to him, and then as I was about two-thirds of the way there, I had a specific set of thoughts that came to me to supplement the impression. And the thought was, tell him I don't want him to leave his ministry. Hmm. Well, I had no idea what that meant, but I said, may I pray over you? So I laid hands on him, and I said, I have a sense that the Lord may be saying that he does not want you to leave your ministry. Well, he stopped, and he said, oh, do you have any idea what you just did? I said, no. And he said, Dr. Moreland, I went to Dallas Seminary, and I do not believe God speaks outside the Bible. Oh. But I have been wrestling for the last 2 weeks about a ministry that I'm the leader of as to whether I ought to leave that ministry or stick with it. And what you just said to me is exactly what I have been wondering for 2 weeks. May I call you and talk to you more on the phone? Well, I had both an impression, which was just a sense or a draw to talk and to pray for this young man. And then a second way God speaks came, and that was through a specific thought that came to me to say to him, and it was exactly what he needed to hear at that time.
Man, love how God works. How about thoughts and feelings?
Well, yeah, that illustration would include a thought, but sometimes a feeling can come to someone. For example, I was getting ready to speak at our church one evening, and I was having a lot of problems in my stomach, and to be honest with you, I was feeling pangs of diarrhea, and I didn't want to get up there and then have to run out of the room and go to the bathroom. Well, the gentleman beside me is very gifted in hearing God's voice, and he said, I am feeling some very sharp pangs in my stomach, and I believe that you are experiencing these right now. Am I right about that? I said, how did you know that? And he said, I will often get a feeling that someone else is having, and I know there's a problem. He said, it's in your stomach. I said, yeah. And he said, can I lay hands on you? He prayed over me, and it went away. I mean it. I'm telling you. And I spoke for an hour and had a Q&A time, and I had no more pangs. That
wow.
was where a feeling came to him, and he took a risk. But, you know, if you fail, there's no harm, because you don't say, thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. You say, I have a sense that. Does this? What do you think about this? That gives a person an out. They can say, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. Well, no harm, no foul. You just move on.
You know, and I think that that's really key, is humility in the delivery, because I think where we get so turned off, and when someone is thus saith, and they're constantly maybe making those declarations, and sometimes publicly in a
yes.
way that might embarrass someone or whatever, but they're somehow the authority. But I think there's something so beautiful about humbly saying, you know, I have this impression or I have this sense in my
right.
heart, you know. That's just powerful. Okay, prophecy, words of knowledge, and words of wisdom. And again, these are categories that people so often throw out. But, you know,
yes.
prophecies
well,
for the encouragement of the body.
All of these
yes,
can
yes.
be abused,
right.
can't they? But so can
mm-hmm.
the Bible. I mean, the
mm-hmm.
Bible's abused all the time. So that doesn't mean we throw the Bible out, nor does it mean that we throw these things out. We just are wise about them. That's it. Well, once I was at a conference with about 2,500 to 3,000 people. It was a worship conference. And a pastor friend of mine up at UC Berkeley had come to the conference to attend that weekend. And he was I said hi to him when he came in. And he was sitting way up in the back, and I was down in the front. So I didn't know where he was. But after the message and the worship time, we were invited to people were invited to come down and to receive prayer. And there were about 200, 300 people that went down there. And I noticed, I sat in my seat, and I noticed that this friend of mine walked by me. And so I decided that I would just go up and lay hands on him and just gently pray for him under my breath. And so I did. And when I got there, the thought came to me, tell him I see him and I approve of his ministry. I've learned to give the exact words that come to me in those circumstances. And so I said to him, I'm having a sense that the Lord might want me to say to you that he sees you and that he approves of your ministry. Well, this pastor started bawling like a baby. And I said, oh, dear brother, what's going on? He said, JP, I don't know how in the world you need to say that, but before this service started tonight, I was sitting in the back. And I said to the Lord, Lord, do you even see me? Do you approve of my ministry? Wow. And I used the exact words. Now, see, I don't normally say that God sees you. I will say my normal way of speaking is God is aware of you, and he knows you, and he's aware of your situation. But I went ahead and said the words, and they hit him because they were the very words he had prayed to God questioning, and that was a word of knowledge.
Wow. Okay, we're almost out of time here, but you want to pick. You got dreams and visions, angelic visitations, life circumstances. You want to pick one of those?
Well, boy, it's that
hard.
I don't have time. I'd like to do an angelic one, but I give in the book strong evidence that angels and demons are real. And I give four reasons how we know demons are real. They're not just psychological breakdowns or anything like that. And this is important for people to recognize that you can sense a demonic presence, and that needs to be a part of our healing. It doesn't mean we don't go to a therapist or anything like that, but there might be a demonic component to it as well. So that I include that in the book and instructions on how to pray for somebody that may be demonized.
Let's talk about this. Just got about a minute left. But what do you know about God now that you didn't know 5, 10 years ago?
You know, I think if I had to answer that, the main thing I'd say is that as a person gets older, God begins to make it easier to embrace death. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that the older I get, the less this world means to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still engaged. I play with my grandkids. I'm not sitting around moping by any means. In fact, I'm actually looking forward to dying. I'm not looking forward to certain ways of dying, but I have great confidence that heaven is real, and I actually can't wait to get there.
Wow.
When my work's finished, take me out, Lord. But
come on.
Yep, that was what I'd say.
Yeah, well, Dr. Moreland, please come back, because I know we just scratched the surface of this content. And friends, thank you for tuning in today. I pray that this compels you to lean in, to draw near to God as he draws near to you. He has more for all of us. He wants us to walk humbly with him, to keep an ear bent towards heaven, to listen for his voice and do what he says. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.